everyone. Welcome to What I Listen To This Week, coming at you from Longmont Public Media. This week, there's just three of us. It's myself, Melanie, Sergio, and Eric. We're down a couple of people, but that's okay. It's going to be a great show anyway. I guarantee it. We're going to kick things off with our usual icebreaker that we always have. And this week's icebreaker, because we're recording this episode just about a week after the new year. So our question is, what is a music-related New Year's resolution that you have? So I'll kick it off. Mine is pretty simple. I just want to see as much live music as I can, more live music than I did last year. I think during the pandemic, I realized how little live music I was seeing. And, you know, once something gets taken away from you, you realize how much you miss it. So I really want to make sure I'm seeing as much as possible. So yeah, that's my goal or my resolution. Sergio.
My resolution is to find a first dance song for our wedding this year. That is all I have.
My music-related New Year's resolution is to finish the classical music class that I've been taking online forever. But I'm in late 19th century now, so I should get it done by hopefully spring.
Nice. All right, so we'll report back on our resolutions at the end of the year and see how we did. All right, Sergio, who's first up on the playlist this week?
Well, I think we decided earlier, because we are missing that we are each going to play two songs, which will be fun.
Yeah.
Are we going to rotate the songs, play one and then talk, and then do another one and then talk, or are we going to just do one round and then another round?
I vote one round and then
one
another round.
One round and another round?
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Then in that case, the first song is Magnolia Blues by Adia Victoria.
This is my song. I don't really have a whole lot to lead into it, I guess. It's sort of newish. It came off of an album that came out last year. I think it was last year. It was either last year or 2021. I'm forgetting the year, but relatively recent. The album name is Southern Gothic. Let's play it and then we'll chat.
I followed you into the blue and north into the cold. You led me off my land. You led me far from home. I tried to be the kind of girl who never needed shares. I gave you all my light and I got nothing to show for it. I'm going back south, down to Carolina. I'm gonna plant myself under a magnolia. I'm gonna let that dirt under a magnolia, a magnolia, a magnolia, a magnolia, a magnolia.
Yeah. So that song, it's been one of my favorites, probably in the last year or so, since it came out. I really love, the instrumentation of it. I think it's really interesting. I also really love sort of the way the song builds and kind of like the climax and then the way it comes down. And the song, I sort of went down this rabbit hole once with this song because I was listening to it and realized that the chorus reminded me of the song Flowers by Moby. And so then I went down a rabbit hole with that song. And that song actually samples, I think it's a recording from the 1950s of an African-American folk song that I think is rooted in like slave folk music. And so then I was sort of going down that rabbit hole. And this album that she wrote with Magnolia Blues on it is sort of all about life in the Deep South. And that's sort of what a lot of the themes of the album are around. She's based out of Nashville, I believe. And then when she recorded this album, Southern Gothic, that's kind of the sort of life in the Deep South was sort of what a lot of the themes of the music is around. So I just thought there's nothing that I can find that says that she's referencing that other song, that folk song. But if you listen to them, you can definitely hear it in the chorus here. It's sort of referencing it, which I think is kind of interesting. And again, no idea if that's intentional or not, but it sort of sent me down this internet rabbit hole for a couple of hours. But it's a great album. I think T-Bone Burnett produced it, which is kind of interesting. Yeah.
It sounded smoky to me. Like I wanted to be like in a
description.
Smoky lounge with like a cigar and I don't know, some rum or something. But also kind of like reminded me of like True Blood. I don't know why. Like just like
interesting.
Some of that Southern, I don't know, gothic-ish type of sound. No, I really enjoyed that. That was a good song.
It's really ominous sounding.
Yeah, it's eerie.
And I was thinking, well, this ought to be just a nice subject of going down south and planting yourself under a tree, but then it was like, well, does that mean you're going to bury yourself
right? Yeah,
under this tree? And I thought, kept on thinking it would lift, but it didn't. It just mm-hmm. got deeper and darker.
Yeah.
Which was sort of cool, actually.
Yeah. It does definitely have that feeling. That's immediately where my head went the first time I listened to it. Was like, oh, was they burying themselves under this tree? And that kind of creepy, eerie, ominous. So I think that's why I like it too, is because there really isn't like a resolution to it. Like you know, there's not really, there's that build in the middle of the song where it almost feels like it might be getting there, but then it doesn't. It sort of just comes back down to that original theme from the beginning. So
it tells a little bit of a story, but it mainly allows you to interpret it to be anything mm-hmm. that you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because when I was researching that folk song that Moby samples that I feel sounds similar to this chorus, there's a lot of like discussion as to what that song actually means and what it's referencing. And there's like no real like conclusion on it. So it's kind of interesting that that's also kind of like a up for debate. So. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Next song is Too Young by Stoplight Observations. I guess I'm gonna lie to you. Chase a psychedelic rat into a black hole, and he crawled out real fat. He started bleeding shades of purple on the pavement, exclaiming the awakening was so close he could taste it. To ease my mind, I put on 1992 cartoons, and then a wrinkled man, he popped up with some breaking news. He started screaming as he pointed at the sky. Well, my
look outside and saw something that I had never seen. All of my neighbors were butt naked and were turning green. They started reading out the book of Revelations, proclaiming that some Superman is gonna come and save them. To ease my mind, I started smoking herb and drinking booze. And then a wrinkled man, he popped back on the breaking news. He started laughing as he hung his head inside. Well, my, oh my, I think we're all about to die. Wow.
So that was Too Young by Stoplight Observations. I don't know how I found the song, but when I did, I don't know. I loved it. I loved how it starts just with the piano and it just, I don't know. It's so good to me. And the lyrics are just so funny. And then, you know, you think it's going to end and then it kind of mellows out and then it just comes right back and just gets you.
I think if Elton John was doing acid and had been born in like 1990, he would have done that song.
What a great description. That's so excellent. I love it.
That was so funny. It makes you smile to hear that. And it was it's weird.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The lyrics are really funny. There's so much going on. I kind of like how, like, really at the base of it, it's just like it's a blues chord progression, but it's got all these weird instruments and bizarro lyrics. Is like not something that you would like hear in a blues bar person. But yeah, it's just a lot of fun. And the beat from the beginning, like, it has your head moving, which is cool. And the lyrics are great. I feel like I could see myself listening to this. It's like one of those bad mood playlists. Like, this is what I'm putting on when I'm feeling cranky and I need like a little bit of an uplift. But I really liked it. Do you know anything about the band or?
No idea.
I've never heard of them.
I'd never heard of them either.
That's so fun. I'm definitely going to dig into them a little bit more because
their whole album, what's it called? It's called Orange. That came out in 2020, actually.
Okay.
And the whole album is just wonderful. It's okay. A lot of fun.
Cool. I'm going to look them
if
up.
If you like this, you would enjoy the album.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on to the next song. It is called Frontin'. Frontin'?
Oh, that's me. Oh, that's you. Do you want to do him first?
Let's do.
Sorry,
it just like came into one.
No, it's okay.
The way I added them
just seemed unfair.
No. Thank you. So the next song is actually Nardis by Bill Evans Trio.
This is the classic trio with Scott LaFaro on bass and Paul Motion on drums and This is from 1961.
Thank you.
So this is from, that song is from the album Explorations, which was the downbeat piano jazz album of the year in 1961. Classic trio again. It's about as perfect a jazz record as you can imagine. I mean, I just love the interplay between the instruments. The solo by Scott LaFaro on bass and the way Paul Motion just keeps swinging forward, but gently, so it's not obtrusive. And then Bill Evans. What can you say about Bill Evans? Bill Evans is like the most influential pianist of his generation, of late 50s and 60s. And it's one of my favorite all-time records.
I've never heard Bill Evans Trio before. This is the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know much about them.
So what do you think?
I guess I find myself hard to decide how I feel about certain jazz songs or how to judge it necessarily. Mm-hmm. I did like the bass solo. I think it's been a while since I've heard like a bass solo go on that long in any jazz trio or duo or single or whatever. I guess I wasn't expecting that, and I enjoyed that piece of it.
I love it. Bill Evans to me is like jazz comfort food. I feel like when when I want to just listen to jazz that I know that I'm going to love, that I don't really have to like process too much because I know it. And when I was studying jazz piano in college, it was like the first thing that my teacher was like, please listen to all of Bill Evans before you move forward. So I feel like, whenever I listen to it, it's sort of like a warm, cozy blanket for me. But I love this particular piece, sort of what Eric was saying, the interplay between the bass and the piano, and it's the solo, less so in the piano solo, but really in the bass solo, it really is a conversation between the piano and the bass. I always love hearing that. Sort of to Sergio's point, sometimes a bass solo can just be like some quick thing. It's a couple of bars. They're just like, yep, sure, go ahead and do your thing. We're going to make sure everybody gets a turn, right? And then they don't necessarily get to really shine. And I think what was great about this one is that it's not only did they get to shine, but also the piano is sort of helping them do that and you know, giving them that platform. And there's that stretch at one point where the piano even drops out and then is like, okay, go ahead, you take it away. And like you say your piece and then I'll come back in and kind of support you at the end, which I really love. So it's a great tune, and I'm happy you brought it, Eric. Thank you.
This group was so special. And then, because there are so many recordings of this group, the classic Bill Evans Trio, but that was it. He wrote for, it's the Bill Evans Trio, and he's on the piano, and it's his group, but he writes for all of the instruments in the trio. So that's what makes it so spectacular for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll have to go back and listen to some more.
The Village Vanguard recordings, there's mm-hmm. a lot of them. I was going to do one of those, but the background, the way that it's mastered now, is so obtrusive. You can hear people talking in the background and clinking glasses, and I was like, why are you guys listening?
They're taking it for granted.
If you want to listen to Bill Evans, this one or the Village Vanguard recordings are the best.
All right. Well, that was the end of round one. I think for round two, tune in next time. Just kidding. We're going to do round two right now.
All right.
Who wants to go first?
I want to go first.
You want to go
first? Because I'm going to forget the name of Wolfgang Mutspiel if I don't.
So the song is what? Duende?
Duende. It's Spanish for Passion. It's Ralph Towner, Wolfgang Mutspiel, and Slivoj Gregorian. And it's going to be in, eventually, in the movie that I'm going to do sometime before I die.
Whoa, nice. Whoa, ooh, okay.
So that's it's primarily a Ralph Towner album. Ralph Towner, for if you don't know him, is a guitarist who's been around for, he started recording maybe in the 70s, but he's still active and he's brilliant and he's sort of was one of the early guys who was doing kind of world music. And I love the song. So I thought, well, if we're going to do one, let's do this one.
What's the instrument? Are they all just playing classical guitar? Are they, or is there somebody playing like a mandolin or anything?
They're all playing
classical guitar. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I was wondering because I really liked it. I'm curious what your movie is going to use it for. Like, do you have like a scene in mind?
I'm thinking the first part can be like the intro, like an opening theme.
Yeah.
And you can sort of go through, put it in again using just the opening part, or maybe chop it up into pieces and play like the middle and the middle and the end at the end. So I haven't decided that yet because I'm not that far along. I've got two songs chosen. This is one.
I love it. I like it. I like it for a movie too because it has that theme that you could repeat like throughout the movie and it would kind of call back to it. I think that's cool. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it sort of had like some Baroque vibes, but also like some, you know, like Spanish guitar vibes too. It kind of had a few different kind of cultures and genres kind of mixed together, which is really cool. And
all of the songs on this album are, this is like an international tour album.
Okay.
So all of them have sort of those elements.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. Something you could kind of get lost in and ignore in a way, but you could also like sit and listen to it very intently and kind of hear all the different things and all the different themes throughout the song, which is kind of cool and great for a movie.
Yeah, to me, I got more of like the Spanish guitar vibes and it kind of felt a little flamenco-ish to me.
Yeah.
Which whenever there's Spanish guitar or flamenco vibes, it's a definite like for me.
You have a type, Sergio?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Something about that music just pulls my heartstrings and it's, I don't know, enjoyable. But no, I'm excited to see this movie of yours and how the song plays into
it. It's still coming, the big concept. There's I found online a 7-day screenwriting course, and it's just a little snippet of this is how you develop an idea for a movie. So I've been doing that in like 2 days to go. So it's definitely been helpful, but this is going to take a long time. But this song will definitely be included.
I like it.
And then we'll do an episode of songs that we like that are in movies.
Oh, there we go. We should do that. That's a definite theme episode we should do. Okay.
Well, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I'll go next. Okay. Sure.
The next song is Frontin'.
Yeah.
Live at the BBC 2014?
2004. Yeah. I'll say more after. I don't really have a ton.
Jamie Cullum?
Yeah, Jamie Cullum. I don't have a lot to say about this. But when Eric brought that cover of Low a few episodes ago.
What a great episode.
Which was, classic episode. but I thought of this song sort of when we were listening to it and I sort of like bookmarked it. I'm like, oh, I need to bring this. Cause it just reminded me of it. But this is originally a Pharrell song. I think it featured Jay-Z. And this is a white tiny British man playing it on piano. So it's very, very different, very different vibes. So yeah.
Don't wanna sound full of myself or rude, but you ain't looking at no other dudes, cause you love me. So you think about a chance, you find yourself trying to do my dance, maybe cause you love me. Oh, so when we try, think we slow down because you weren't used to how fast we touch. Then we locked eyes and you was in there and I was gonna cheer your ass up. I know that I'm carrying on, never mind if I'm showing off, I was just front.
You know I want you, babe. I'm ready to bet it all. Unless you don't care at all. But you know I want you. You should stop running, babe. You could be, you're still sneak and you look at me. Girl, I love it. Then you give your other girl a shove. Said you're gonna come and ask how it was. She's gonna love it. Whoa, whoa. So then we try, I think we slow down because you weren't used to how fast we touch. Gonna tear your ass up. I know that I'm carrying on. Never mind if I'm showing off. I was just running. You know I want you, babe. I'm ready to bet it all. Unless you don't care at all. You know I want you. You should stop running, babe.
Yeah, so that came out in 2004 on his 20-something release. I think it was only on the UK version of the release originally. It wasn't on the American version of that album, but he's, you know, since re-released it, and now you can get it. But that was definitely one of the first songs I think I heard by him, and I remember loving it. And he did a lot of covers early on in his career. He covered like a Radiohead tune. I remember him covering a U2 tune, in addition to, like, his first album was primarily sort of jazz standard covers, and then the second album he did a few more kind of pop covers. And so I think that's sort of what drew me in initially to him, were his sort of covers of things, rather than his original music. But yeah, and I don't remember if Jeff Gascoigne and Sebastian de Krom are the other two in the trio, the bass player and the drummer. I don't remember if they're on this recording or not, but they were sort of his core group for a long time. So it's highly possible that they were on this recording, but I can't remember. But yeah, it's so much fun. I mean, I put this on when I'm like doing chores or just in a bad mood, and I can't help but like dance around the house. So yeah. Not everybody all at once.
No, it was enjoyable. I liked it. I think at first I didn't know if I was going to like it, and then I think as it progressed, I enjoyed it more and more.
I liked it a lot. You know, when you talk about jazz and you talk about standards, and he'd started doing the regular Great American Playbook songs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But somebody has to, and people are starting to develop a new set of standards. That could be a standard.
Yeah.
Because it was just a great version of that song, which I really wasn't familiar with at all.
Mm-hmm.
And love the trio.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A little contrast to the Bill Evans.
Yeah, it is. I was hoping that we weren't going to listen to it right after Bill right after Bill Evans. But yeah, it's fun to watch. He's a fun live performer for sure. I mean, he's one of those people that's like standing up while he's playing piano and just like getting really, really into it. This one is fun to see him perform live too, which is cool that it's sort of the live version on this record, because I've seen him perform it live and it's really fun.
What is a jazz standard for those that don't know?
Yeah, I mean, what defines a jazz standard? I mean, for me, it's anything in my real book. but yeah, it's like a core group of, like the Great American Songbook. You know, all of those like classic jazz singer, like Ella Fitzgerald, like she, you know, records a lot of like those sort of great American like jazz standards.
It was music from the usually late 20s to late 40s that were written for other genres that jazz musicians incorporated into the repertoire. And that became the Great American Songbook, and it's Jerome Kern. It's
Cole Porter. Rodgers and Hart.
Hoagy Carmichael. Just those sorts of composers and all of these songs that became jazz songs because of jazz musicians took them and interpreted them.
Gotcha. So they're more of like standardized versions of songs that people can play almost? I don't know.
There's actually probably a book somewhere that says all these songs are the Great American Songbook.
Gotcha.
And so you can do anything you want with them. It's like John Coltrane doing My Favorite Things is, you know, it's from the Great American Songbook, but it's way out there.
Mm.
It's, you know, it's John Coltrane, it's like blowing really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But like Melanie's saying, what was Ella Fitzgerald is sort of the defining singer of
yeah, that. I would say like she probably does most, if not all, of what you would consider. Yeah,
and
like
she has a series of recordings, the Great American Songbook.
Yeah.
And then she did some with Louis Armstrong that were
mm-hmm.
you know, Great American Songbook songs.
Right? Yeah. I mean, some of them were, you know, in musicals from like the early 20th century that they, you know, that people would be like, oh, I remember this song from that musical I saw. And then the jazz musicians would take it and sort of like turn it on its head and, you know, do their own interpretation of it. But so I think that's one way to define it. I also think too of a jazz standard of, you know, like just one of those classic songs that, you know, like Equinox, right? And then everybody does like their version of it. It's not necessarily something that, you know, Ella Fitzgerald was singing, but it's something that's like just ingrained in the jazz playbook that, you know, there's so many interpretations of it.
Like All Blues or Stolen Moments or
Autumn Leaves.
Voyage, Autumn
Yeah, ones like that where, yeah, you're just going to – everybody who's anybody has probably done a version of it at some point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Anything else about that song?
No, just
– it was cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I recommend it. I mean, that record is generally pretty fun, and the Pointless Nostalgic, his first record, is pretty fun. So I recommend them. His cover of High and Dry by Radiohead is like my favorite one, so – yeah, I recommend that to be your next listen.
Okay.
All right. And the last song of the evening is Betty Get Money by Young Gravy. Do you guys know this song?
No,
but all the words that came out of your mouth sound great.
It's Betty parentheses Get Money by Young Y-U-N-G Gravy. We'll be right back.
gravy got cheese now, that's poutine. Oh, gravy coming hot like I'm hopping off the griddle. Pull up on a kid if you're trying to get belittled. All the mamas love me now, I think I'm peanut brittle. Flex the rainbow, bag it like some Skittles. Gravy, why you out of pocket?
Out of pocket.
Stop it.
I know.
I'm getting money, gravy, crockin'. Never take a L no more. Never take a damn thing slow. All I know is chase this dough and get money. Never gonna take no loss. Never gonna lose my sauce. All I know is chase this and get money.
Get money, get money, get money.
Good morning.
Probably into the early morning.
For good morning.
Yeah, a little fast life. Yeah, you know a little fast life. Got a type, baby, I'm a cash type. Still getting dividends from a past life. I get your daddy's net worth on a bad night, cause I act right. Yeah, rockin' rig, clappin' ass leads like the 80s. Never give it up until the reaper come and slay me. Pull up with a Zelda and a peach and a daisy. I be dirty dancing, now the yelling gravy Swayze. Take a damn thing slow. All I know is chase this dough and get money. Never gonna take no loss. Never gonna lose my sauce. All I know is chase this and get money.
Get money, get money, get money.
Get money.
Crazy.
Get money.
Sergio just rickrolled us. Yeah.
So that was Betty, parentheses, Get Money by Young Gravy. And how? Go ahead.
That was a song with a variety of cultural references.
smorgasbord of cultural references, if you will.
I like that. No, the reason why I heard about this song was it maybe a month or so ago? Just some colleagues and I were upstairs in the room talking about this podcast, actually. We were talking about how we haven't listened to a lot of hip-hop or rap in general. And then we just started going on, like, different hip-hop songs across different genres and subgenres. And then this was actually a song that Megan had recommended. And I had never heard of it. And I was like, who the hell is Young Gravy? And we listened to it, and I just thought it was hilarious. And it's part of his new album, which then I went and listened to the whole album. It's just as ridiculous as the song. No, I love the sampling of, you know, Rick Astley and the lyrics. It's just, I don't know, just a fun, cheesy, kind of lame. I don't know. It's a fun hip-hop song. Kind of reminds me of Lil Dicky or any of those. I'm trying to remember any of those other artists. Anyway, but yeah, what do you guys think?
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
It's hilarious and... I mean, the Rick Astley part was great, but it was also some, like, other references to other rap songs, and it was, the rhyming was so ridiculous. It was just really funny.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. I'm really, this is one of those songs where I'm really excited to like spam all my friends and be like, please listen to this. I'm curious what the subgenre of rap is of this, because I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of in the same boat. I usually go to Jay, my husband, to be like, what subgenre of rap is this? And I'm curious if there is one for if Young Gravy is like considered a certain category.
I'm sure
we need to have maybe. Megan on this podcast, though.
Maybe.
I mean, there was some Biggie in there.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I was like, well, you know, if you're going to go bold, just
yeah, might as well.
Yeah, do the masters, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, it was great. I really loved all the sampling. I thought it was really well done. There were parts that, like that part, I don't know how to describe it. There's parts that almost feel kind of clunky, but I don't care because it's hilarious and it's just great. But yeah, I love all the references and the sampling. I think it's just so much fun to like think about that. And it's fun to like hear songs like this that are referencing so many different like points of time in our collective musical history. And I think it's really cool to kind of listen to that. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun. But I'm excited to share this one.
And I think if I remember correctly, I think Megan said that. So Young Gravy is, I think, a relatively new artist.
Okay.
He's been around for a while now.
Has he?
Yeah. Okay. And he's one of the rare white rappers with some sort of cultural validity.
Huh.
That, you know, black artists aren't just looking at him like, God, really?
But did he get most of his fame via TikTok? Do you know? I think that's what I remember Megan saying, was like that TikTok is kind of what like popularized Young Gravy somehow.
Yeah, he's like that other guy. I forget his name. Jack somebody.
Sparrow. Just
kidding. It could be Jack. I don't think so. People aren't laughing at him. They are laughing at him, but. So that's cool too. So he's that guy.
Hmm. Yeah. It's like, it's funny, but people can still take him seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know what subgenre it is. I mean, to me, I feel like I've like heard like other white male rappers kind of sound like he does back when I was in college and stuff like and they kind of, you know, goofing around, making funny lyrics, like not really taking himself seriously. Like,
but not as good as the Beastie Boys, but
right.
Maybe a little better than third base.
Hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was, I think it's interesting too, just to kind of like hear him sample the Rick Astley thing too. And sort of that genre of music too. And kind of, I don't know. I feel like there's this weird connection. I'm not piecing it together very well, but it's yeah.
He never explains how he makes the money.
No, he doesn't. Yeah.
But I would also recommend listening to this album if you want.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed this. It is actually kind of funny, more ridiculous, I think, than this song. So
cool. All right. Is that it? That's it
for all of us? That's it.
Cool. Well, that was a lot of fun. Hopefully, though, we have a new fourth person or a returning fourth person next time. But if not, we'll just bring back two songs again. All right. Well, if you have feedback on our songs, if you want to call me out for talking about nonsense that was totally incorrect, which might have happened, leave a comment. Or if you have music you want us to listen to, also leave a comment, like and subscribe. And then you can also catch a replay of this on Longmont Public Media's radio station LPMX on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings. So tune in there as well if you want to go back and listen to a random episode. We also play it there. But yeah, anything else, Sergio?
I think that's it.
All right, cool. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Bye, guys.
See you next time.